with a theme of Judgment House, and it's God has blessed it over all these years, and not only here but other places where it's at. I was thinking in my heart for the last few weeks about judgment. That's one of those words we don't like. Heaven we love. Mercy we love. Grace we love. But heaven's a real place. And so is judgment. Judgment's really going to happen. Look in the book of Hebrews. I'll read one verse as a text, and I want to pray, and then I'm going to have you look at several other verses this morning. But notice in Hebrews, if you will, please, in chapter number 9, Hebrews chapter number 9. For continuity of thought, I'll read verse 28, but the text is verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Our emphasis is in verse number 27. And as is appointed a man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would help us. God, speak to our hearts. God, I pray you'd give me clearness of thought. And I pray, God, the power of God would be on us. Thank you for the wonderful singing of the congregation, the choir this morning, the specials, our Father. We thank you for our veterans. And God, we want to be a part of Veterans Day celebration. Our Father, to recognize and honor them, those who have served in the past and those who are currently serving as well. Lord, we pray for them. We pray, God, that you'd bless their families as well. And Lord, I thank you for the ministry of the Shoebox Ministry and the hundreds and even, yea, thousands of people around the world, boys and girls, that will be affected, and moms and dads. And Lord, we pray that thousands, millions may even come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the distribution of those boxes with the gospel message and the love of those who deliver them and the follow-up. Our Father, we pray, God, that many come to know Christ. And our Father, this morning, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, to help us to come to a reality, our Father, that there is a judgment. And I'll thank you, Father, for what you do and what you will do through us this morning. Speak to my heart, to the heart of our friends, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. How many of you believe in death? Raise your hand. You believe in death. Across the road is a testimony to the truth of that statement. It's appointed unto man once to die. You ride down the highway, and you'll see a cemetery here and a cemetery there. You may not believe the Bible, but the Bible is true. And one of the truths is that men will die. Your death may occur at any moment. James said, your life's a vapor and appear for a little while, and then it vanishes away. The Bible said, whereas by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, in that all have sinned. All die. Now, if you're saved by the grace of God, Paul said we might not all sleep. That is, we might not all die a physical death, but we get to go in the rapture. That'd be a blessed thing. But death is real. And your life is very, very brief regardless. James said it's like a little vapor. It appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. But that's not the end of the story. You'll live forever. Everybody in this building, everybody in the sound of my voice will live forever. Believers and non-believers, those who love the Lord and those who claim to be agnostic or either non-believers at all, and don't believe in God at all, it makes no difference. You're going to die. And after that, there will be a judgment. Everybody in this building will have to face a judgment. You say, Brother Billy, why do I have to face a judgment? Because there's a sovereign, holy God that has fashioned you, and he holds you accountable. That word has been in my heart and mind for the last several days, accountability. We'd like to ignore God. We'd like to deny his existence. But every human being on the face of the earth is accountable to God. You live on his earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You're living here on his earth. You're breathing his air. You're enjoying his creation. You're refreshed by his rain. God has fashioned you. Your existence is because of a God that some of you don't even believe in and you don't love and you don't serve. There are some in this building and in other places who acknowledge his existence, but he says, you draw near to me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. You don't believe on him in your heart. You may believe in the existence of God like you believe in the existence of other things, but it doesn't affect your life. But you're going to have to answer to God because you are accountable. Saved and lost will have to stand one day and be accountable to a holy God. Your body, you're accountable for your body. And what a miraculous creation, what divine creation and design he's fashioned for you. Your circulatory system, your respiratory system, the digestive system, the fascination of the human eye, how it can grow or contract and magnify and how it functions for all these years. Inside of your heart is a muscle no bigger than my fist that beats on an average of 70 times a moment. If you are a little, some people, it's lower than that. Mine's usually about 45. Some people have a high heart rate, but I don't care how long you've been living. October the 5th, I was 77 years old. And that heart's been beating just like that since the day I was born, October the 5th, 1946. And prior to that, in my mother's womb, I've not one time made an effort to make my heart beat. Not one. What kept my heart beating for 77 years? It was a holy God in heaven. Every beat of your heart, you're accountable for that. Every breath you've ever taken, every mouthful of food, you're accountable to God. He's blessed you. He makes it rain on the just and the unjust. And what have you done in appreciation of his goodness to you? That marvelous body that you got, he enabled your body through the blood system of your body to have white blood cells and red blood cells. And he fixed your body where it will heal itself. There are many times that we've had to have surgical procedures or medicines or whatever. But God fashioned this body. It is a healing machine as well. Your body heals itself over and over again. Your body was created and the cells have divided. From the time you were conceived, a single cell invisible to the human eye, and at some point in time, that cell began to divide in the mother's womb. And the same tissue, same DNA and everything else, but somewhere along the line, it began to form ears and toes and other features of your body. Isn't it an amazing thing that out of that one thing, the fact of your conception and your birth, you owe to him. Your existence, you owe to him. Every breath you've ever taken, he is because he allowed you to breathe. You're accountable to God. You're accountable to God for not only his blessings on you and his creative acts that's blessed you, but you're accountable to him for his son. You see, he's made his son the standard by which you go to heaven. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life. What will we do with Jesus? They cried, crucify him, crucify him. What would you do? What have you done with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? And he talked about those who have gone astray and wicked and vices and wicked imaginations. And then he talks about those who have trod underfoot the blood of his dear Son. You're going to be accountable for that. For he loved you so much, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You're going to face judgment one of these days. And let me say to you, when you look at the Bible, let me have you to look with me at a couple of passages of scriptures just real briefly this morning. Because the judgment I'm referring to is actually a two-pronged judgment. There's a judgment for those who are saved and a judgment for those who are lost. In the Bible, they are described in this way. Look with me, please. First of all, in the book of Romans, chapter 15, or either make a note. And as I turn over to the book of Romans, if you would like to, we invite you to turn and read with us. But in the book of Romans, in chapter number 14, and notice, if you will, please, what he said, in chapter 15, he says in verse number 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee will bow to me and every tongue confess to God. the judgment seat of Christ. Who's he talking about standing at the judgment seat of Christ? He's talking about Christians. These are people who know the Lord Jesus Christ. If I turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, let me read these verses to you. Paul said, "Wherefore we labor, that is, we being Christians, that whether we be present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which hath done, whether it be good or bad." He's talking about those who don't know the Lord, who know the Lord. He's talking about those who are Christians. But then let me turn over, Brother Barry's been sharing with us from the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, I want to share with you the other prong of that judgment. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. Notice in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, beginning at verse 11, and he said this, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were all judged, every man according to his work. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Two judgments, one called the judgment seat of Christ for believers, two, the white throne judgment for those who are lost. Let me tell you, there's a lot of similarity between the two. In the first place, there is the same judge. You'll have to stand before the Lord. According to the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "The Father hath committed all judgment to me." The Lord Jesus Christ will be the judge. The standard is the same. He said, "The words that I spoke unto you, they will judge you." The standard is this book. It's not the American Constitution. It's not any rules of order of conduct or anything in any other type of society or any other religion or anything else. The standard by which you'll be judged is the Word of God. The judge is the same. The standard is the same. And when you think about it, they are both 100% accurate in all the evidence that presented. Sadly, that so many times evidence in human courts can be tainted or flawed or even misrepresented. But the facts at the judgment that is unavoidable for everybody in this building, whether you're saved or lost, will be absolutely 100% perfect. More than that, they're going to be detailed. The Bible said that every thought and every intent of the heart, every thought, every idle word, every bit of it will be detailed out at the judgment. You'll have to stand before God as a Christian or as a lost man, as Christian at the judgment seat of Christ. As a lost man, you'll have to stand at the white throne judgment. Not only that, I remember the words of Roger when he talks about the judgment being final. This is a final judgment. When you stand before God at the judgment seat, whatever the pronouncement will be, it'll be final. Whatever said at the white throne judgment to those who are lost, it will be final. But not only final, it will be eternal. People are given life, three life sentences. I'm not sure how that works, but they're given three life sentences. And at the most, I don't know of anybody who's ever lived past 110. There probably have been some. But at that point in time, that judgment is fulfilled and over with. But the eternal judgment of God for those who are lost is eternity in a place called hell, the lake of fire that burneth forever and forever. And they'll have no rest day nor night, and they'll be tormented for eternity. This judgment is not only final, it is eternal for those who are saved and for those who are lost. They have this similarity. They're all absolutely personal. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. And Paul said, we must all, everyone, individually, stand before the Lord. In the book of Revelation, it said, I saw all men, small and great, stand before the Lord. You'll stand by yourself. Your trial, your judgment will not be based on what your mama or your daddy did, nor what society did, nor what strangers did, nor what became acceptable in modern day times. None of that will matter when you stand before the sovereign God. You'll stand absolutely alone with nobody else to blame but yourself. It's a personal thing. The last thing that I'd say to you that they're similar and alike is that neither of these judgments has nothing to do with whether you go to heaven or hell. It's already a done deal. Amen. When you stand at the judgment seat, you're saved for all eternity. When you stand before the white throne, you're damned for all eternity. So you don't get to go to heaven after you die and stand at the pearly gates, as so many talk about, and then they make a decision whether you get to go in or not. You'll make that decision today before you leave this building or before you turn off this broadcast. You'll make that decision in your heart. You don't have to make it with your mouth. You'll make it by your actions, whether you believe the Word of God or you reject the Word of God. And this Word that I'm sharing with you this morning will judge you in the last days. You can't say, I didn't hear it. You're accountable to God, everybody in this building. But there are great differences between the two. In the first place, I believe the period or the time in which these judgments take place. Now, I'm not going to give you a definitive answer, but I believe you could find a general answer in the Word of God. I personally believe that the judgment seat of Christ for believers will happen sometime after the rapture. I know it'll be after the rapture. But perhaps while hell is going on this earth in the 7-year tribulation period, every believer will have to stand before God, according to the Apostle Paul, to give an account of himself before God. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The period, the time is different. The time of the white throne judgment is at the end of the age, after the battle of Armageddon, when it's all over with. The period is different. The people are different. The saved people will be at the judgment seat of Christ, and the lost people will be at the white throne judgment. Not to determine who gets to go to heaven and who doesn't, that's already been decided. But you stand before God in judgment. When death occurs, there's no more chance to be saved. There is no purgatory. You can't pay anybody out of a holding tank. When they die, they're in the presence of God. If they're saved, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But if they're lost, they're like that man in the book of Luke, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. The moment you die as a lost man, you're in torment, and you'll remain in torment. You'll stay in a place called hell until the white throne judgment. And if you'll notice, I read to you that death and hell will give up the dead that's in them. So those who are in what's called hell now, one day will stand before him at the white throne judgment, and then they'll be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. The purpose of these two judgments is altogether different. In the one, the judgment seat of Christ has to do with the accountability of that believer, of his stewardship, of his service, of his surrender to Christ for rewards. And if they judge that they have laid up gold or silver or precious stone, they receive rewards. And I'm not going to try this morning to go into all the degrees of reward. But at that moment, those of you who are saved by the grace of God, you'll stand before God to give an account of the things done in your body, whether they were good or bad. I personally believe, he said in 1 John, if we confess our sins, plural, that he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, when you got saved, you trust Christ. You're here this morning, you're in the radio audience or the internet audience, and you're not saved. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved. That means He forgives you of all your sin, past, present, and future. But your fellowship is dependent on your walk with Him and your faithfulness to Him. You have children born in your home. And I dare say, as beautiful as they were and as precious as they were, there are some of them, maybe or not many, but I'd rather think every one of us did not always obey our mom and dad. If you've had children, some were better, some were easier to handle, some were a little easier to mold, some were hard or had a strong will, but somewhere along the line they all sinned because the Bible said they've all sinned. And to disobey parents is sin. They didn't lose their sonship or not be a daughter when they disobeyed you. They were still your child. But you had to discipline them and chasten them. And so at the judgment seat of Christ, it's not for salvation, it is for rewards. But you have to give an account. Here's the way I see it. If I disobey God now, and even as a pastor, a preacher, I was thinking back, Brother Barry was talking about me preaching some, and I got to thinking about how long has it been. I started actually preaching in 1967. I was ordained in 68, but that's when I started assistant pastor. Either when I came to, I can't remember if I got ordained to serve in my local church or was it after that. But at any rate, 67, that's a long time that I've been preaching. But God's good to us. But do you know that I'm subject to sin every day of my life? You say, Brother Billy, do you mean you sin? Yeah, I have. And I hate to say that, but here's the truth that you ought to think about. The Bible said, to him that knoweth to do good and to doeth it not, it's sin. Sin's not just lust or just drinking alcohol or just using profanity. It's not doing the things you ought to do, not doing the good things. The Bible said, as a believer, I'm going to have to give an account for the things done, whether they were good or bad. But if I have disobeyed Him and I come to Him honestly day by day, Paul said I died daily, and I will acknowledge to Him my sin. I don't have to wonder what they are. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of me. He knows every thought. He knows everything. And I don't want anything between my soul and Savior. I'm convinced that if I make that right, I'll never have to see it again or hear of it again. But if I don't, if Jesus were to come right now, you know how you'd go? Just like you are. And if you've got an unconfessed sin in your life, or Brother Avery Rogers used to raise this question, if you have something in your heart, you know you've done something that wasn't right and you haven't come clean and got right with God, where do you settle that up at? I believe you settle up at the judgment seat. The Bible said He'll wipe away all of our tears. I believe, like old Brother Avery taught me years ago, I believe there'll be some weeping at the judgment seat. Not necessarily for all the things we did, but of all the things that we could have done, how we failed the Lord, witnesses we didn't give, and then things that we did do we never came honest with. Wouldn't it be an awful thing if right now, up on the screen all of a sudden, everything you're thinking right now was to show up? Every hidden sin, every unconfessed sin, every unforgiven attitude, every lustful thought, everything that you've done and you kept secret from your husband or your wife or your mom or your dad, and you're a believer, wouldn't it be an awful thing if that were to pop up in front of everybody? I remember when I was in the Boy Scouts, and we had a big, at the time when they were giving out all the merit badges and everything, Don was an Eagle Scout. I only got to be the next level below that. I got too old. I started it late. But I thought about it after I was preaching. That big old, they had it in like a civic center thing there in Roanoke Rapids. And there was a different, our scout troop 144. And had a senator there. I forget which one it was at the time, and mayor and everybody was there. Anyhow, they called us up and they recognized us for what we'd done and gave us our badges or whatever. And we had one Life Scout at that time, and he came up and got that. And I thought, oh, I wish I'd have worked a little bit harder. I wish I'd just put a little more effort. But the thing is, for those who know the Lord, we don't do it for ourselves. We do it for Him. You're going to receive reward, but the Bible said there's coming a time that all of my works will be tried. If they're gold, silver, precious stones, they will abide. But if they're wood, hay, or stubble, they'll be burned up. Things that I did because I wanted to, or because I did it in the flesh, or because I wanted to praise of men, all that will be burned up. But we will receive a reward. There'll be crowns. But I think maybe the greatest reward would be His commendation. That is when He looks at you with all the eyes of everybody in the, not the civic building, but all the redeemed of all the ages, and you stand before Him at the judgment seat, and He says to a little lady who never taught Sunday school, who never sang in the choir that most people never noticed, but she prayed and she sought God, she read the Bible, she loved people, she gave money to people, things she, nobody ever knew what she did. And the Lord says to her in front of all that crowd, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." What a day that'll be. The commendation of our Lord, the judgment seat. But it says we can suffer loss. In fact, John says one place, there'll be some who'll be ashamed at His coming. I don't want to have to stand before Him at the judgment seat and be ashamed. We were at the ball game the other day, and an old fella, I can say that because I'm old, but they were going down and they said, "Papa, be careful, don't fall." And I, you know, you don't ever tell teenagers that. You know, you tell little kids that and old people, so I guess I'm old. But on the other side of the steps going down, there was a guy who had gray hair. He thought he'd take a little shortcut, and so when he made the turn to take the shortcut, he just fell right down between the bleachers. And I people around him, you know, kind of responded, and I said to him, I said, "Sir, are you okay?" And he got up. He said, "Yeah, I'm okay physically." And by that time we got down and he came around in front of him, we started down the ramp together. He said, "I'm just embarrassed." He said that people were watching, so many people saw me fall. Makes me feel old. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when you stand before the Lord and you suffer loss? What you could have had, but so many things that we did, songs we sang, sermons we preached, gifts we gave, benevolent things we did, and we didn't do it in the name of Christ. We did it to be seen of men. We'll lose all that. We'll lose those that we could have had in the judgment seat of Christ. These are so many similarities in them, but so many differences, because the judgment seat is for rewards, but the white throne judgment is for punishment. You say, "Brother Billy, what could be worse than hell?" You know, they say there's something worse than dying, and in hell you don't die, you're tormented day and night. But it says that everybody's going to have to give an account for the things done in their body, whether they were good or bad. Did you know that you have influence? And that's why the judgment, I don't think, is going to take place to the end of the tribulation period. Because for those of you who've made a mockery out of the Word of God and the things of God, and you put on a show in front of everybody else, and your heart was far from God, your children knew it. And it'll be reaped in your grandchildren and your grandchildren's children. There's a man now who is pushing to get first priority out of the public schools. He says he's a Satan worshiper and he wants to have Satan clubs in our county schools. I hope he gets saved. I'd love to see him get saved. But if not, at the white throne judgment, he'll have to give an account for what he's done and from the school board and everywhere else. But think about his children and the grandchildren and all the other children that he will affect. I think about a man like Hitler who bred such hostility and hatred of the Jews, and he did annihilate 6 million. It's not a fairy tale. It did happen. The Holocaust did happen. Destroyed human flesh and stacked them like cordwood. buried them with bulldozers and mounds as high as this building. Think about him. Think about somebody who didn't trust Christ, rejected Christ. They were good moral people, but they still lost and they'll still be in hell if they don't know Christ. But there are degrees of punishment in hell, I believe, and you'll have to reap the consequences. You remember a guy that died in the New Testament? I believe it's a real story. And he said, Abraham, send Lazarus that he might dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, just one drop of water. And he said, he can't pass to you. Nobody can go from there, the bosom of Abraham, into that place called Hades. He said, well, do this, will you? Send somebody to my brothers. I have five brothers. I don't want them to come to this place. And they said, they have Moses, the prophets. They won't hear him. This man, no doubt, had been influential with his brothers. Perhaps he's the older brother. He became successful financially. They looked up to him. He didn't need God. He rejected God. He said, I can live without God. I can make money. I can have fine linen. I can drive nice cars or chariots. I can have all those things. And they believed him. And so they live like their older brother. Your children live like you do. Is it all about money, all about job, all about success, and you don't know Christ? You're going to have to pay the price of generation after generation after generation that follows your example. And they end up in hell, but you'll have an influence on their life. And so in hell, there'll be degrees of punishment, I believe, for those who have led people wrong because of their influence in life. It didn't end with their death. They're still living it out. I hear people say all the time, he's just like his daddy was. She's just like her mama was. She never was no good. And the daughter turned out like her and the granddaughter and everybody else. You have to pay for that judgment seat. The wage of sin is death. And you have to die physically, but you'll be eternally tormented in a place called it. There is another difference between these two judgments. One of them is unavoidable. And one of them is avoidable. Now you say, Brother Billy, now wait a minute. You said that all have to stand, that everybody's got to stand at judgment. Yes, but you can still avoid one of them. You're still alive. Right now today, if you're saved, you're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. But if you're not saved, you can avoid the white throne judgment where you'll be in hell for all eternity with degrees of punishment. You'll hear the screams of your ancestors that followed your example, and I believe they'll torment you in hell. Why didn't you believe the Bible? Why didn't you pray? Why didn't you tell me about Christ? For all eternity, you'll be tormented with the screams and cries of your children, your great-grandchildren, and descendants because of your ungodly influence. You can avoid that now. How? If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. And those who know the Lord Jesus Christ don't have to stand before the white throne judgment. You'll have to stand at the judgment seat of Christ as a saved person. But you can miss that white throne judgment by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't trust Christ, that's the only criteria. Not whether you drink alcohol or whether you commit adultery or any of those things. Not because of those things. But people go to hell because they don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said they're condemned already because they've not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's where the condemnation's at. And you can avoid the white throne judgment if today you'd believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, give your life to him, and know for sure that you're saved. Heaven's your home. You say, Brother Billy, I don't believe none of that. I'll see you in 100 years. And everybody in this building would say, preacher, you were right. Every knee must bow. Every tongue confess to God. Every day, every knee. at the judgment seat of Christ or at the white throne judgment. And the only time to get any possible relief and be rescued from the white throne judgment is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, the clock is ticking. Death is pursuing everybody in this building. But I'm telling you, the prophetic clock is winding down too. And if the rapture occurs today, can I tell you what horror you're going to have? You'll have to go through the wrath of the tribulation period. I don't know how long you'll live. You may starve to death. You may be killed by a wild beast, maybe a pestilence. It may be just the sword of a brother or sister or mom or dad. I don't know how long you'll live during the tribulation period. But you'll have to go into that. For those who are saved, He's delivered us from the wrath to come. But if you're not saved, you'll have to go into that tribulation period and then go to hell and then stand before the white throne judgment and then be in the lake of fire for eternity, forever and forever, because you did not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Saved or lost. Not Sunday school member, not a member of Baptist church. Not if I baptize you, you've been baptized 9 times. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to get to go to heaven. But the judgment of the white throne for the believers is unavoidable. You'll have to give an account of yourself, with things you've done, your body, good or bad. But it is possible for you to miss the white throne judgment and end up at the judgment seat by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads in prayer? I'm going to ask you a simple question. If you died right now, it's appointed a man once to die, and after that, the judgment, how would you feel? Will you enter into the presence of the Lord to await the judgment seat of Christ at a later time? Or will you plunge into hell and be tormented day and night until you're brought out of there for the white throne judgment and then be cast in the lake of fire for all eternity? The difference, not where you were born, not your nationality, not your race. It's whether you have Jesus or not. Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. I make no apologies for that. That's what the Bible says. No way to go to heaven without Jesus. But whosoever will may come. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'd encourage you right now, right where you are in your home, right here in this building, to call on the name of the Lord right now. You think He has pleasure in you being cast into hell? The Bible said He has no pleasure in the death of the ungodly. He's not going to be gleeful. He wept over the city of Jerusalem because they would not come to Him that they might have life. Somehow or another, I believe that He's a sovereign God. He's holy. But it would be a grief to Him for you to go in hell. He didn't want you to go. Hell's a place prepared for the devil and his angels. He wants you to go to heaven. But you have to believe on Him. I'm talking about really know Him as Savior and Lord. It's not play, this is real. It's a real deal. Have you ever had a transformation? If you died right now, do you know you'd go to heaven? And then as a believer, is there anything between your soul and the Savior that's hindered your fellowship? He's put His finger on it. I don't have to deal with it in detail this morning. There have been times I have felt Him so real, so close, and I knew I was right with Him, but there have been times that I know there was a little something in my heart. That's why David said, "Search my heart, see if there be any wicked way in me. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Return to me the joy of thy salvation." Maybe you've lost your joy. And you got an option this morning as a believer. You can either be honest with Him today and ask Him to forgive you and purge you if He comes today, or if you die, you'll have to face Him with it. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that you take out of the minds and hearts of everything that people have heard me speak today that was not true. But God, I pray that what you said and what you spoke through me would eat at them, our Father, and have a burning in their heart. Don't give the lost any peace until they find peace in Christ and rest in Christ. And for the believer, helps to be ever mindful that, God, we do have to give an account at the judgment seat of things done in our body, whether they were good or bad. Keep ourselves in the love of Christ. God, help us to stay clean. Not a thing between our soul and the Savior that would hinder our prayer life or hinder our joy or keep others from coming to know Christ. God, help us to be right with you. God, not because we are afraid of the judgment seat, because we know it's a reality, and that's only right. You're our Savior, you're our God. Lord, we ought to be faithful to you and love you. But because we love you, we don't want to dishonor you. Thank you for the wonderful songs the choir sang and Brad led us in this morning. Lord, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost to speak to hearts. Now let's stand together. The situation with our drapes and all, I know a little difficult. But right where you are, if you can make your way to either side this morning, and you want to get before God for just a moment, we're going to have a closing prayer, but we're going to receive the love offering for Nathan and Mulaney here in a few minutes. The ushers will be ready for that. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. You don't have to confirm that appointment. Matter of fact, you didn't even make it. He made it. You will stand at the judgment, either the judgment seat of Christ or the white throne judgment. And what you do with Christ will determine which one you stand at. I want you just to obey Christ, maybe right where you are. Maybe the Holy Ghost of God's tended your heart. You don't want to have anything between your soul and the Savior. But you know right now, if you died, you died with just a baptism or just church membership or just Sunday school membership or just feeling good, trying to do your best. None of that's any good. He that hath the Son hath life. Do you have Jesus? Brother Brad, if you will, I ask you to sing just a couple of verses. We won't go long. God spoke to your heart. I don't think you need to wait. Right now. Do it right now. Just go ahead and do right now what God wants you to do. Obey Him now.